Just the other day, Europe, and many parts of the world for that matter, sat down to watch the final of the Champions League, the annual tournament featuring Europe's best soccer teams. This is a tournament that kicks off, if you'll excuse the pun, more or less in September, with a group stage, and then it moves on to the knockout stage in spring. And that consists of two games, each club playing at home, and the aggregate score determines who goes on to the next round. Only the final is a one-match event, and it is held almost always on the final Saturday in May. Now, this year, the opponents were two familiar giants in European football, Liverpool and Real Madrid. In fact, it was the third time these two teams have squared off in a final. Real Madrid won the match, 1-0, and as a result, the streets of Madrid filled with jubilant fans donning the jerseys and the colors of the team. The cars were cruising around, honking their horns. The Plaza de Cibeles, which is in the heart of the capital, filled with tens of thousands of people celebrating the victory. We even went out for a walk around 1 or 2 in the morning just to sort of enjoy the atmosphere. And we did that for a little while until it got sort of too crowded. So then we turned around and went back home. The win for Madrid was somewhat surprising because Liverpool entered the game as the favorite and in general was the better team that day. But time and time again, Real Madrid has found a way to win. And this year, the team's good fortune was especially notable. In the round of 16, for example, they pulled off an incredible come-from-behind victory to knock off the tournament favorites, Paris Saint-Germain. Then they came back to defeat Chelsea in the quarters and once again stunned the world with an amazing last-minute 3 goals against Manchester City and sent them home in the semi-finals. And once again in the final, they beat Liverpool 1-0, making it another victory for them. In fact, 14 in all. So, of the 67 editions of the Champions League, Real Madrid has won basically 21% of the time, which is pretty amazing for one club. It is, as many say, Real Madrid's tournament. So, what is the history of this team and this competition? When and how did they raise the cup in victory? From the very beginning, this Spanish club has made a strong statement about its future as a dominant figure in the Champions League, known originally as the European Championship. In fact, the team could not have started off better, winning the first 5 editions in a row. To this day, no other team has matched that record. The Real Madrid of the 1950s was an amazing side with a formidable attack, which included legends like Alfredo Di Stefano, Gento from Spain, and the unstoppable Ferenc Puskás from Hungary. This is a team which routinely appears high up on the list of one of the best sides in history, and it certainly was one of the most successful. So the first streak of 5 victories went like this. In 1956, they beat Reims of France 4-3. In 57, they beat Fiorentina of Italy 2-0. In 58, they beat AC Milan, another Italian team, 3-2. In 59, they beat Reims again, 2-0. And in 1960, they beat Eintracht Frankfurt 7-3. This last game was played in Glasgow, Scotland, before an enormous crowd of 120,000, and it is considered by many to be one of the finest displays of soccer in history. A friend of mine told me years ago that his father was at the stadium that day and told him that the spectators were so impressed by what they had witnessed that they refused to leave the stadium. When the game was over, they just continued to clap and cheer until the players returned to the pitch for one final ovation. So it must have been pretty amazing. That's where their streak ended, but still, Real Madrid was an important team. For example, 2 years later, they played the final, but this time they lost to Benfica of Portugal. It was the first taste of defeat. The game was 5-3. 2 years after that, they were in the final again, but they lost to Inter Milan 3-1. And then 2 years later, they were back in the final, but they won their sixth championship. against Partizan Belgrade of Yugoslavia, 2-1. This team was actually known as the Yeye team, which sort of was a funny name. And the reason it was called that was because their hair was a little bit longer, and Yeye was a reference to sort of pop music back then, especially Beatles songs, you know, the like She Loves You, And that's the origin of the name, the Yeye team. So anyway, after the first 11 years of this tournament, Real Madrid had won six of them and been runner-up in two others. Now, the bizarre thing about this streak of success was that Spain at the time was still recovering from its devastating civil war, and the country was under the firm control of a fascist dictator named Francisco Franco. In fact, it's always been said that Real Madrid was sort of the darling of the authoritarian regime, which is to this day a reason why some fans in Spain despise it so much. In any event, I've always been sort of baffled by how this team managed such unbelievable success under those circumstances. But you have to admit that the trophies do speak for themselves. In any event, 1966, that very year, was the moment when Real Madrid sort of headed into a long drought slump, whatever you want to call it, that would start to make some people wonder whether its initial success was something that you see from teams in history doing very well early on and then sort of never returning. I know if I'm trying to think back to the early days of the of Major League Baseball, where there are teams that did very well, but they've done nothing since then. That was sort of the impression people were getting with Real Madrid. The years went by and nothing happened, no success. They did manage to make it to the final in 1981, but lost to Liverpool 1-0, the very same rival that they just beat this year. As it would turn out, as of 2022 at least, it would be the last time Real Madrid would lose a final. And then another 16 years went by with no luck, or maybe it was 17 years, not even during those years when you had the famous Quinta de Butragueño, the famous striker. It was an excellent team, but they just never managed to make it to the final. This was also the stage when I arrived in Spain, in Madrid, and I picked up Real Madrid as my team because that was the team that my family followed. So I just said, what the heck, I'll stick with them. And they did well in the National League, but in Europe, they were lacking or failing year after year. And you could sense the frustration. The fans were yearning for that elusive seventh cup, La Séptima, as they would call it. An almost defeatist attitude began to reign in the club, and there was a sense that they would never again make it. But in 1998, they were in the final again, and they played against Juventus. This was the era of Raul, the young and effective striker, who started with the team at the tender age of 17, a few years before that. He had a solid team to work with, excellent defense, very good midfield, and a decent attack. And they reached the final and took on the Italian team Juventus. At the time, the Italians were the most feared opponents of all of Europe. Somehow they just always knew how to win. The match was excruciatingly tense. But finally, the Montenegrin striker, Mijatovic, popped a ball into the net in the second half, and then the team held on in dramatic form until the end. After that, Madrid exploded with excitement. The fiesta was huge. It was an enormous load off the back of its legendary history. The victory would prove to be no fluke. Soon, Real Madrid began to develop its famous Galacticos team when team president Florentino Perez promised and delivered, I might add, a world-class star each year, starting with Figo, then came Zidane, Ronaldo, Beckham, and in 2000, Real Madrid beat Valencia, an opponent from its own league, who was the finals for the first time. It was a big night for players like Raul, and Real Madrid won quite easily 3-0. 2 years later, they were back in the final, this time against a German team, Bayer Leverkusen. Raul scored early in this match, but this was the game that will forever go down as the day Zidane joined the Olympians of football when he received this blooping pass from Roberto Carlos and converted it into a volley that went into the net like a missile. It's unbelievable. Check it out on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. And the final score was 2-1. The Galacticos did little else after that. It wasn't so surprising. Many had joined the team late in their careers, and the chemistry wasn't always there. So not much happened for a while. Madrid would need another 12 years before it could finally obtain its next big milestone, La Décima, or the 10th Cup. And it could not have come before a more fitting opponent and in a crueler way. Atlético de Madrid, its crosstown arch rival. This was the Real Madrid of Cristiano Ronaldo, and it would trigger another string of unbelievable triumphs. Now, we're talking 2014. Real Madrid won 4-1. But despite that score, the match was much closer. In fact, Real Madrid almost lost and almost probably should have lost. It was losing 1-0 3 minutes into stoppage time when Sergio Ramos, the defender, hammered in a header from a corner kick, I believe, to tie the game, much to the utter disbelief of the Atletico players and the Atletico fans, who were on the verge of racing to the Neptuno Square, La Plaza de Neptuno, to celebrate their first Champions League. The team was obviously jarred by that first goal and fell apart in extra time, and Real Madrid scored three more. That's what made it 4-1 in the end. Anyway, 2 years later, Real Madrid was in another final, and who did they play? Well, you got it, Atletico Madrid again. This time, Ramos scored again, a little bit early on, I believe in the first half. And then in the second half, Atletico drew even. They eventually went to penalty kicks, where Real Madrid won again. Now, as you probably have figured out by now, I am a Real Madrid fan. But I've always felt very bad for Atletico Madrid, especially the first one. It was tragic. And I certainly would have traded in one of Real's trophies for one to be given to Atletico. But that's the nature of sports, and just that's the way it happened. The following year, in 2017, Real Madrid met the Italian team Juventus again, this time in Cardiff, Wales. This coincided with the height of Cristiano Ronaldo's career. He was probably in his finest form. And they easily beat La Juve 4-1. The following year, that makes it three in a row, Real Madrid completed a hat-trick with a bizarre victory over Liverpool. By bizarre, I mean that two of the goals scored were the result of huge blunders committed by Liverpool's goalie, Loris Karius. It was a forgettable night for him. And then there were a couple of years off, and was the pandemic. And finally, this year, their most recent match, May 2022, once again, the goalie was a determining factor, but this time for his excellent play. And it wasn't Liverpool's, but Real Madrid's Belgian goalie, Thibaut Courtois, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, and I apologize if I'm not, who basically played the game of his life, winning him the deserved honor of man of the match. So that makes it 14 in all, and it certainly seems like this really is Real Madrid's tournament. They say that Beckenbauer once remarked that to win the Champions League, you need a great team, a great coach, and you need to beat Real Madrid. Now, that quote is probably apocryphal, but it could have easily been true, because basically, deep down, many teams believe that. And this year, of all years, Real Madrid seemed to confirm that rule because they probably didn't field the best team in the tournament, but they just somehow managed to pull it off. And that'll be all for today. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian's Spain domain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.